As we come to 2024, everybody's wondering, what does next year hold? What's the economy going to do? What are the markets going to do? I want to offer you the greatest trade that you will be able to make. And it flows right out of our passage. We're learning, how do I live connected with God? That is life in the kingdom of God, where instead of relying on my strength, my power, my wisdom, my flesh, I'm asking, God, would you be with me and guide me? And I need him so much. And he's available, and that's the good news of the incarnation, of God coming in the person of Jesus. And we read today one of the most familiar passages. This is Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Jesus has now been born, so he's now into the world. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And it's not an accident that shepherds were picked to receive this news. We'll come back to that. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Literally, it says, they feared with great fear, or the old King James version, which I love, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now that's the trade. We'll come back to this. The invitation is for the shepherds to trade their great fear for great joy. The invitation for you and me today is to trade my fear, perhaps my great fear, given this darkness in this world, in for great joy. You might remember, if you've been walking through this journey, Zechariah had this wonderful promise in his song to John, where he says, because of what God is doing right now, the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness. And this is literally being fulfilled now. Just a few verses later, the shepherds were out in their fields keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It's begun now. Jesus has been born, and the light's coming into people who walk in the darkness like me and like you. Do not be afraid. For I bring you, and there's a reason for this, there's a grounding for this, is the grounded optimism. I bring you good news that will cause great joy, not just joy, great joy, for all the people. It also is a pregnant phrase. Today. Now this marks a great shift. Up until now, Luke has been prophesying, saying to Zechariah and saying to Elizabeth and saying to Mary, something good has happened, but now it's here. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, or the Christ, the Lord. Interestingly, this is the only passage in the New Testament where these three titles, these three descriptors, he is here as a Savior, he is here as the Messiah, the Anointed One, he is here as the Lord, but he's a little baby. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. What's going on in that realm is radiance and beauty and praise. And you're invited to join in that today. And I am too. Thank you, God. And then on earth, where you and I live, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And peace is not just the cessation of war, it's the presence of shalom, the way that God wants things to be, life in the kingdom of God. So, this is good news, and this is great joy, and today, if you want, you can trade your fear, whatever your fears are, for great joy. How do we go about doing this? Let's say a word about the shepherds now. In the ancient world, and in Israel in particular, Joel Green writes about this, the pivotal function of the shepherds invites investigation of their larger role. One must look to their status in society. In that world, they might have a little bit of land, but it would not have been enough to take care of their own families. And of course, they were being heavily taxed by the Romans. As a result, they would have to hire themselves out to work for wages. They were then peasants, located toward the bottom of the scale of power and privilege. And that's why this news will be good news to them. And that's why, by the way, the angel says, This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. If you have been with us on this little journey through Luke, you might remember a wonderful article by a great New Testament scholar. He was a missionary, a student of Middle Eastern culture where he lived for many, many decades, Ken Bailey. And he writes about how when Jesus was born, he was laid in a manger because there wasn't room in the guest room, is the word that's actually used. And this, the idea here, the picture would be Jesus was born in a peasant home where there would have been great hospitality offered for a town like Bethlehem. Hospitality was a big, deeply loved virtue. And in a typical peasant home, there would be a lower little chamber, possibly kind of a cave, that where they would bring in their animals. They might have a cow or a sheep or so at night, and then take them out during the day. And then there'd be a little staircase, and the main living area of the family, which is where Mary and Joseph would have been, would be in that primary living area. At the edge of that, there would be a little indentation, and that would be where food would be placed for the animals that were brought in at night and that would be taken back out. That would be the place where Jesus is laid. And so don't picture a barn. I know, stable, but Ken writes, this is the picture that is in Luke's mind. And this is very significant for the shepherds now. When the angel says, this will be a sign, it's not a miracle. Zechariah got kind of a miracle. The angel shut his mouth. Mary got a miracle of virgin birth. This is not a miracle. It's also not an arbitrary way to be able to identify, oh, it's this baby and not another baby. It's not like you will recognize our agent because they have a red carnation. This sign is bringing out the meaning of the event. And the idea to the shepherds who were quite low in status is, now you're going to go to a quite lowly peasant home. If this was Caesar, if this was a king, you'd go to a palace. They would never let you in. You'd be directed to the service entrance or forbidden altogether. The coming of Jesus would not have been good news to Caesar. It's not that God didn't love Caesar. It wouldn't have been good news to him. It was good news to the shepherd. And part of the good news of the shepherd is now Jesus has come and he's just like you. He's one of us. You'll find him in a little manger, in that little part, in a little peasant home where you would never find the child of the king, but you will find the Son of God, the Savior, and the Christ, and the Lord. That's why this is good news, shepherds, to you, and you can rejoice. And then the language that's used here is very, very loaded language. This passage is just remarkable. Joel Green, in his book, writes about how it is playing off of both the language that's used in the Old Testament, looking forward to a Messiah, the idea that we're wanting good news. Isaiah, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who say to Zion, your God reigns, the kingdom is now here. So all of this language will evoke those longings and those promises in the Old Testament, but now surprisingly in a baby in a manger. But this language also reflects the language that was used by Rome to talk in a very grandiose way about Caesar Augustus, who issued a decree that all the world should be taxed because he thought he was in charge. But then, of course, as a result of that little decree, there's somebody far greater than Caesar whose purposes are being carried out. And so that's the language that Luke is playing with here. Here, for example, is a way that Augustus was honored by a provincial assembly in Jesus's day. This is a proclamation that was made to honor Augustus. This assembly said, Providence has produced Augustus, filling him with virtue for the benefit of mankind, sending us and those after us a savior. Soter, that language was used to describe Caesar, who put an end to war. You might remember from school days, they used to talk in the first century about the Pax Romana, but that pax, that peace, came at the end of a sword, but not necessarily something that, it was not the lion laying down with the lamb. And established good things, whereas Caesar Augustus, when he appeared, exceeded the hopes of all who anticipated good tidings. good news. That's euangelion. That's the gospel. All this language, see, is being used in a very grandiose way to describe Caesar. Whereas the birthday of the God, that is the God Caesar, who is regarded as a godlike figure, marked for the world the beginning of good tidings. And what Luke is saying, in an act of staggering, man, what word do you use for this? Insight, claims that were just remarkably, would have looked grandiose to that world, except now today they've come true. What are the odds? Joel Green goes on to say this. Luke's point is that another ruler has been born, one whose dominion is universal and everlasting. And this good news must be seen as countering the exalted claims made by and on behalf of Augustus, or whatever other would-be saviors and lords, money, fame, success, corporations, armies in our day. Luke then has drawn on the language embedded in the culture of Roman religion and legitimation of power, and in the culture of Jewish trust in divine intervention and rule. He exploits the social, political, religious depth of that language in both cultures, then transforms that language by vesting it in a message about a newborn baby in a manger spoken to peasant shepherds. And the upshot of all of this for you and me today is rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. However lowly, inadequate, or great you think you are, Caesar or peasant shepherd, doesn't matter. Now today, you can trade your fear in for joy. So let's do a little fear analysis for a moment. What are you afraid of right now? Maybe, like the shepherds, you're afraid of God. That was the great fear. They were so afraid because of that gulf between them and God. He is holy, he is perfect, I am not. But he is saying to you today in Jesus, you don't have to be afraid of me. I bring you good news of great joy. Man, that's my... Mom, I got to call you later. I'm recording right now. That was my mom. Mom, if you're watching this, that was you. If you're afraid of something that's going to happen to your body, if you're afraid of somebody who's going on a track that gives you great concern or pause, if you're afraid because of financial problems, if you're afraid because of what you have done wrong, be aware of that. Ask God, God, is there something you're calling me to do? Now, part of what Jesus does when he comes into our life is gives us the strength to do what we've been afraid to do because he'll be with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. So then, first you name the fear, and then, God, is there something that you're calling me to do? With the shepherds, let's go to Bethlehem and check this out. Maybe it's make an appointment with the doctor. Maybe it's have a conversation with that person. Maybe it's take a look at these finances that I have been afraid to look at. Whatever it is, move towards what you've been afraid of. If God's calling you to take action, take action. And then trade that fear in for joy. God, I recognize now today that you are with me. There is good news of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. Part of where this is challenging is Rome thought they were running the world. No. Israel was often tempted to think, you know, God loves us, but the rest of the world, those pagans, Gentiles, they're in trouble. Now, good news for all the peoples. And that's what has come today to peasants like me and you and our whole world. Rejoice, the Lord is with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to find more teaching just like this. And if you've got a prayer request, please text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.